Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 558, Onward.
Ta-da!
Starring Spider-Man and Star-Lord.
I always, like, why do people in, like, those dog movies say Onward Mush or something?
I think so.
I want it, because when you say
forward,
Onward...
Forward Mush?
No, I think they say Onward Mush.
Oh, all right.
I think that's a saying. So whenever I hear Onward, subconsciously,
I'll tell you what. You go watch Call of the Wild. Come back and let us know.
I will not. Sorry. Not until they fix that dog. I want the Snyder cut.
Oh, God. You and apparently 30 other people.
Yeah. Well, Onward Mush brings up nothing on the internet.
Really? Why do I think that's a...
Mush is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it was Forward.
I think it is. It's
Forward Mush?
It's Forward.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Word.
Well, before
we will not be onward mushing. I will retract that.
I will onward as we all introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, but wherever you get your podcasts, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Like the page and join the group. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content. So,
I guess,
onward.
What an interesting movie. And
especially for Pixar.
It is for Pixar. But also, this is I can't remember the last time that Pixar, or even like a kids movie in general, did everything opposite. Like this entire movie, you think it's going to go one way.
Yeah.
And they constantly do the other thing, which I appreciate.
It's like the subverting expectations.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But like when you think it's, you're like, okay, we're going to get to this point. You're like, oh, we're going to go left. Okay. That's like, I'm fine with that.
It's kind of like the guy.
I appreciate not playing into the formula.
It's pretty meta. It's like the Chris Pratt character says, that's too obvious. Right?
Very much so.
So they
very much
set that up in the movie to where it's like, yeah, you know, let's just take the highway directly to our goal. No, that would be too obvious, which
right,
is funny.
Right.
But then it's like when you think about it, they're kind of doing that the whole movie. This is one that, as everyone knows, I don't watch trailers, but I knew nothing about this movie
at all.
When the plot came up for this movie, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, there's a half of a body walker. Like, I knew nothing.
Yeah,
I was just
how
like,
did you manage to avoid at least a trailer for this movie?
I just don't.
I saw a trailer, but had forgotten all about it.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, it's the legs movie.
Like,
but for a kid's movie, this is a gutsy, like, this is not the typical storyline plot.
This is that Pixar, like, next step kid's movie. Right.
Right,
like,
definitely.
Coco did this where it was like, this is not Toy Story. This is kind of like, I take that back. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all of the Pixar stuff
always dealt with kind of harsher issues
than the
life.
Disney stuff. And that's not to say the Disney stuff is what it is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, some of it's fantastic, some of it's meh. But I feel like the Pixar stuff has always kind of had that next level.
Yes.
Maturity to
it. Well, they have adult themes. I don't know if that, you know, they deal with subjects that kids movies usually skirt around. I'm not saying it's an adult movie or that it's anything bad, but they actually go there. They tackle themes
that
are above usually a kid or would go over their head even, but there's something
to
learn from
them. But I think that they don't go over the kids' heads, because like kids
they do it on their level,
because kids deal with this stuff whether mm-hmm. you want them to or not,
right?
Like, yeah. And so
I mean, Inside Out's a prime example.
Yeah,
Inside Out, which I just rewatched like a couple months ago, and it's like, god damn, like that's like, it's insane how smart that movie is. Like even when the emotions start to make like the weird marble, like where everything's kind of, you know, you're allowed to feel both things about this one memory. And I just saw the preview for Soul, and I was like, they're gonna do it again. I don't know what that is, but they're gonna
Pete
do
Doctor
it
too. I think it's the same. Oh, is guy. It?
I thought it was.
I don't know,
but I think I remember hearing when that was, you know, when the stuff came out, I think that's Pete Doctor as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I knew nothing about this movie. And the thing that struck me really strange, because I didn't see the trailers and all that. Again, I saw the still images from it, so I knew it had like a elves and the creature, you know, like whatever. I didn't know if they were monsters or what the universe was. But I watched and I'm like, this doesn't look or feel like a Pixar movie. That was the strangest thing to me.
Like, what do you think a Pixar movie looks or feels like?
Pixar movies lately have been very like cinematic looking, and this was very cartoony looking.
Yeah,
it's like
okay.
They changed their style. So even Cars 3 has this beautiful photorealistic scenery.
Sure.
And the cars, even though they have a cartoon quality, they still have reflections and stuff. Like everything about Pixar lately, Toy Story 4,
yeah,
gorgeously photorealistic. Yeah. So it's interesting that they've gone from that, and they've been doing that for a long time now with their movies, and this one just looked completely just CG cartoony to me.
I can see what this would look like, a Frozen or a
yeah,
like
exactly.
A Disney,
and
a
not
Disney
that those
animation.
Are bad, but nope. It's just Pixar to me has had a like a different next level. They're always stepping it up each time. And while this one definitely was not bad animation, but style of animation was different, right?
It was different.
And so to me, I don't know. And Tom made a good point last episode. I think people will forget this is Pixar.
Uh-huh.
They're just gonna throw it into Disney. You know, they're so close anyway, and the Disney logo's on the movie, and but yeah, it just didn't feel like a Pixar movie to me, which I thought was weird because I couldn't quite put my finger on it other than the style. But
yeah.
I don't know.
We only get a bunch of Disney actors.
And I don't think it's Pixar level. Like because people go, oh my God, Inside Out is so next level. I know it deals with some big topics, but quality wise, like writing wise with the script and, you know, just the characters, to me, like this didn't hit Inside Out. It didn't hit some of those next level movies.
I think it's... yeah, like it's kind of a notch down from a typical Pixar movie. Mm. But that being said, I think it's in that realm one of their better ones.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
I for the first like 20, 30 minutes, I was kind of like, what are we doing? I don't know what
Same.
I think about this.
It's a rough start.
And then, but then once it got up and running, like, I had a lot of fun.
And it's short.
I ended up really enjoying this movie way more than I thought. By the time it did everything, I was like, well, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because I will say, like, there's a lot of Pixar movies that are good, but they're not always a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, this one was, like, their adventures and the action. So I was like, this is fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think it has a slow start, but once they get into it, you're on board. And I love the world it deals with. Watching this movie made me realize how much I missed something like a Lord of the Rings movie, right? Because there's a lot of the same kind of mythological stuff. You have the creatures, you have big statues, you have the... You know, all the like the game stuff he's talking about
right.
is all in the same world of
all
like a
D&D
Lord of the Rings.
Stuff,
right.
Yeah.
And it made me miss those movies. So it invoked that, which I haven't had in a long time. So like I'm really ready for that Amazon Lord of the Rings show after watching.
Can I tell
this.
You I've never seen one of those?
Wow. That's
never.
That's surprising.
I missed it, and it was just, at that point it was too far.
They are great movies.
But
except for The Hobbit.
Well, but Lord of the Rings. Oh,
right.
Those movies.
I take
suck.
That back. I've seen part 3.
Oh. Yeah.
Is that right?
The Hobbit movies, do not judge.
Yeah.
No, right.
Lord of the Rings is one of the best trilogies of all time.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Captain America.
Of cinematic trilogies of all time.
Yeah. About that.
So anyway, but yeah, this movie, I was, you know, I had kind of a weird reception going into it. But by the end of the movie, I went from like this movie being like, what are we doing here? To the credits rolled and I'm like, I think I loved this movie.
Right. Yeah.
and it was just surprising. So yeah, I'm not talking bad about it. Like, I don't mean it's a bad movie, but to me, it didn't land where Pixar usually does. But I don't think I've ever teared up so much in a movie in my life. Like, this
yeah,
movie
it,
hit me
it, it
on
hit
a level.
It did some gut punches.
And I was not expecting it at all because I didn't know it was about this whole parent thing. And seriously.
It's not. Like, that's the trick, though, right? Like, it's not about the parents.
It's about the brothers.
It's about the brothers, right? Like, that's the trick, is they make you, like, you think this entire quest, you're on this whole quest to so that Ian can meet his dad, mm-hmm. when
really it ends up being so Ian can meet his brother.
Right.
Like,
and realize that his brother is his dad. Like,
that he didn't realize.
And it's, I think that's the trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, is like this, they're on this massive quest because Tom Holland's character, Ian, the just turned 16 and never met his dad passed away before. And it's interesting that in this cancer, I assume, is a thing in this world. Mm-hmm. It's just like, they take these human elements,
right,
and like make them fit into.
Because they say he was in the cancer ward or something.
Well, when Chris Pratt's character says, they talk about the memories,
the tubes, like,
and all that stuff. And I was like, so Chris Pratt has two characters that he's played that their parents have died of cancer?
It's a pretty common thing these days. Yeah, I think you're going to end up.
But before we get into that, there was a Simpsons short in the beginning of this movie, which I was just like, oh, this is fun. Like
it was really funny.
I liked it a lot.
And I love The Simpsons, but like, I was surprised how much I laughed.
In my opinion, has taken a dip in quality over the last 15 to 20 years, which is expected. Like, right, things had a ridiculous run. You can't expect it to be the level it was for the first 10 to 15 years.
As much as I love it, I can admit it's not season 6 anymore.
Correct.
But I still love the show. That doesn't mean...
Sure, absolutely. And it's Maggie going to
the park
and meeting a boy. Baby boy, and they
really
have like
funny
a,
with the hair blowing and the
she fixes that. They have this connection, and of course Marge takes her home, and Maggie's pining over.
I mean, getting ready
boy.
With the milk, like
oh
it's
God, so
like
good.
To like behind her ears. I mean, there's a lot of
this is the kind of stuff that I was like, yes, this is The Simpsons. Yeah. Like, this is the stuff that I remember.
The humor was good, and it's silent too.
Yeah,
they clearly didn't feel the need to pay any of the actor, you know, because they get like a million an episode.
Right.
So for this, they still probably would have had to shell out. You know, like the weird thing about
50 grand.
There's no way Maggie walks into a room and doesn't say, or I'm sorry, Marge walks into a room and doesn't say, hi, Maggie, we're going to the park. Or Homer picks up Maggie and doesn't say anything. So I get that this was a silent thing and maybe they intended it, but knowing these characters like I do.
Well, that's how they did the other one, too.
Was it all silent?
Yeah, the other one wasn't.
But you see his, I don't even think you saw Homer in the other one.
I think you saw Marge,
but to me,
other Maggie short.
Yeah, and this
it's been a long time.
But Homer doesn't walk in the room without going, "Ooh, hi, Maggie." You know what I mean? Like, to me, knowing The Simpsons, it felt out of place. Even if they're trying to do a silent thing, like just those characters are so vocal, you don't see them be silent for that long. But it was very funny without words. I will say they did a good job.
It was very funny. It was very funny. I like the when Homer takes Maggie to the skate park. Oh my God. Broken ankle skate park. Like, just like that. Hilarious.
And she's dodging, like the Homer goes to a taco truck.
Right.
That's the only reason he goes to this park. And she's dodging every skateboarder going by her.
There was
at
one point where she jumps on the skateboard. I was like, well, yeah, she's seen Bart skateboard her entire life. Of course she knows how to skateboard. That
I like the park instead of having you must be this tall. It had it had a sign that was like, you must be this medicated. And it listed
I did see that.
Adderall and like all the different. Like,
funny.
Yeah. But it was. It's a very cute short where, I love the end where she is like stressed out and she unscrews like the top of the bottle.
Yeah.
And it's just very, it's very like Casablanca, the very film noir where she's slamming the milk.
Well, it's the same way like Homer would chug beer. She's seen that happen.
She wakes up and Marge kind of like she's strung out on, you know, cause
I love
she
her. Puts
this,
her hair,
puts
bonk,
her
bonk,
hair
bonk,
back
like point, and, point, bonk, 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 bonk. It's so good.
Fixes it. And then of course she gets back in the car with Homer. And
I mean, just from the first moment when the little boy takes her bow and uses it as a bow tie.
Right.
Just little things like that. Were
it was funny. It was a very cute short. But yeah, I felt like, then we get into the movie. I guess, are we getting Simpsons shorts from now on?
Oh, I don't know.
Or was it just
but it was cool.
Like,
it's like
welcome,
Disney
welcome to the family.
That was funny. Disney welcomes the Simpsons, and then the ending, the Gracie films with Mickey sitting
Mickey
in the
sitting
theater.
In the theater. Yeah,
that was a cute touch too. And then the beginning started off looking like an old Mickey Mouse cartoon.
It did.
With the bright background and a Mickey outline, and it was Homer holding two donuts. That's good.
So it's.
The dad is introducing this world. I believe it's him as the narrator.
I believe you're right.
And
yeah.
At the end, maybe Tom Holland says the same line, but it's this line about there used to be wizards.
And all this.
They go through and show all the...
And basically they're saying that like magic ruled this world at one point, but sometimes it got too hard and people started to invent electricity rather than like using their wand. And it just got easier. And the easier things got, the more... progressive the society got and the more people forgot about magic and finally magic was gone.
I loved this concept because I mean at first I was very like kind of taken aback or caught off guard because I'm like, what are we doing here? But the more I thought about it, the fact that you're saying that magic and wizards and dragons and all that exist, but then people got lazy and they wanted convenience and then basically it's now with monsters and stuff still, but they basically merged it like into our modern world, but with those same mythical creatures. And it's kind of brilliant. Like, I've never seen any story. Have you ever remembered a story that started or even flashback to the Middle Ages with magic and dragons and then caught up to a present day with modern technology? Like, I don't remember that concept ever happening.
God, I feel like there was something, but I'm...
I don't know, but I thought it was cool. And so now it's like there's just kids and schools and regular houses and
jobs, it's 2020.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally... Yeah. So we're introduced to Ian, and it's Ian's 16th birthday, and he's the awkward is the best way I can put it. And it's interesting, like...
He's kind of the nebbish.
We see Tom Holland so often as Spider-Man, right? And he's not awkward. He's fairly, you know, he still has that Peter Parker awkwardness a little bit, but when he's Spider-Man, he's confident and he's funny. You forget how kind of like one of the things that I think is lost on voice acting for the most part is your acting, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's not just Tom Holland and Chris Pratt and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. But they're acting like they have those when they...
You mean people think they're reading lines and they forget they're acting?
Right, right. I think sometimes that happens when you get actors to do voiceover work who aren't probably used to doing voiceover work.
So you mean
work.
Like stunt casting? There's a difference between getting a name just to put the name on the marquee and having an actor that's a trained professional that actually knows how to emote.
Correct.
With, yeah.
And I think that Chris Pratt and... everybody involved in this movie knew what they were doing.
I think they did a good job reading the lines. Like, at first I wasn't completely sold on the voice casting. Like, I don't know, Tom Holland I like, but to me, I didn't feel like I needed Tom Holland in this role. I felt like it could have been someone else and I would have been like, okay, this movie's the same quality.
Right, right.
He did a fine job, but I just mean that Tom Holland, I didn't exactly hear, like, when I hear Mark Hamill doing a voice,
sure,
and he does a lot of voices,
sure,
I'm like, damn, that guy's good. He's got range. He has this inflection with all, you know, he's great at reading lines. Again, Tom Holland was serviceable, but I wasn't like, God, Tom Holland's awesome at voice acting.
It's gotten to the point where it's hard to, when you start doing this stuff, like Julia Dreyfus, I mean, if you wouldn't have told me that was her, I wouldn't have known.
I didn't know until you just told
me. Yeah, she was the mom.
It was fine.
And Octavia Spencer was the...
Oh, the
manicure.
The manicure.
Her voice is pretty distinct, but like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I didn't.
But when you get Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, like, it does take me out a little bit because I know what they look like.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't help that their character models somewhat resemble their faces.
Yeah. And they've done that for.
They have.
Yeah. Since the Aladdin, I think. I feel like.
You think so?
But you know
what? I feel like the genie looks like. I think he looks kind of like Robin Williams. I think they use that as a jumping off point.
Okay. That makes
sense. I kind of see that. Yeah. But you know what's interesting is, okay, so let's go to Monsters, Inc., which is, you know, really good. Another really good Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal and John Goodman.
They're doing voices.
Right. But that's so I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When I watch that movie, I don't think of those two, even though I clearly know it's those two.
Sure.
But with this movie, I just heard Tom Holland and Chris Pratt talking.
Right.
So again, and they weren't terrible, but
do you
I feel
that way
like
about,
that was,
about Tim Allen and Tom Hanks?
I don't see them at all when I watch
those
movies.
I guess they're both doing voices too.
But they're like, I feel like they're really acting. They're acting to where like this movie was serviceable and fine. But like when you hear, I mean, Tim Allen giving it his all, you know, and he's like to infinity.
Yeah.
And beyond, you know, he's really, and then, you know, Tom Hanks is a very animated and Woody's very like up here. And, you know,
that's true.
To me, there's more subtlety to their performance where, so this one, I think it was more for the names. I really don't think those two were like,
what do you feel about The Rock?
Oh, I love Moana. Love it. He's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. They were fine, but I wasn't blown away.
No, totally.
And I don't think they cast them for their voice acting prowess.
No, yeah,
I think
Chris Pratt and Tom Holland.
They're Disney guys.
Yeah.
They're both
That's
Marvel
exactly
guys.
What it is.
Yeah, so.
So he's just trying to get out of the door. He's a little neurotic. He doesn't really want to. He doesn't like driving. It freaks him out. And his brother on the Barley, I think was his name, on the other hand, is very over the top, very rambunctious, and just big, you know, big. He's a
big
lug. He's a big lug. That's the only thing I can describe him. And I do love that, like, they're going about their morning and
the
food thing is very funny.
Every
Tom Holland
thing.
Is trying to get some breakfast, but it's always knocked out of his hand, or somebody takes it, or you know, the dragon slash dog is making them trip over themselves.
Yeah, and I love in this world, again, because you're dealing with the mythical creatures, you have dragons as pets, you have unicorns out eating trash cans
like raccoons.
So I do like that they kind of and you can't call it really anthropomorphizing, but they've somehow adapted like regular animals to monsters. You know what I mean? I don't know if that is anthropomorphic because it's not human traits, but they've applied.
It's not like Zootopia.
They've domesticated like mythical creatures.
Which I like. It's it's very funny when you see rabid unicorns.
Right. So, you know, we find out that Barley is way into the past and like the idea of keeping the things that were, because they're tearing down things that were part of their past, like the magical monuments and things that were used on quests throughout the thing. And he is an activist, basically, where he'll chain himself to a fountain or whatever. And I do like the way the cop kind of clip, you know, the Minotaur walks up and he's just like, every time I got to come over here, like I got to come over here for you. And Barley's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I do like that he's the boyfriend. Like he's not a
Yeah.
Right. Like he's just doing it. He's like, come on, man. Like you're killing me with this stuff.
So it's interesting with this movie again. So we deal with the loss of a parent. The dad has passed away recently. And well, not recently, but when Ian was very young.
I think Ian wasn't even born yet.
He wasn't born yet.
He wasn't born. He was 16 years ago.
The other one was young. So, you know, he's dealing with never meeting his dad. The other kid is dealing with being a father figure and taking care of his family and his brother Ian mainly, and then you deal with the mom having a new boyfriend, you know, and dealing with that. So that's just another thing where this movie tackles very real subjects, and they broach those subjects where, you know, you might see something but they don't say it, but this movie says it.
Oh yeah,
which I respect. I mean, it's cool. And like Tom mentioned earlier, it's like kids give credit to the kids that, you know, they deal with this stuff and you don't have to hide it, you can address it, and that's real life.
Yeah, it's we don't, and maybe we do, maybe as generational parents, I feel like I give my kids a little bit more credit when it comes to like what they can handle and maybe what they are used to seeing. Like, I just feel there's so much different stuff going on in their life.
Well, there's so much access.
That's
kids,
also true.
Kids
see
so much that you can't even shield them from anything.
Yeah, you can't hide things from them.
You may as well explain it and teach them so they're not trying to figure it out on their own, because you know that they're seeing it.
They were on the bus, and I guess they were talking about where babies come from.
Right.
Oh, I looked at Leanne, I was like, fuck.
Oh.
Well,
time has come.
And that's the answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the thing is, remember with divorce up until the last whatever 15, 20 years, like it used to be a taboo subject.
Sure.
And so when parents were fighting, you know, they would try to hide it, and the talk of divorce would be a hidden thing, and you didn't want to bring
it
up.
Talk about it.
But see, now divorce is more accepted, and there's not as much of the religious pushback. And, you know, so.
Well, even
that was always such a sticky, like on the Mary Tyler Moore show. They wanted her character to be divorced, and the
oh really,
and the network wouldn't let them.
So she was just a single woman.
She was single because they were afraid that that people would think she had gotten divorced from Dick Van Dyke, and so they were like, no. And even on the Brady Bunch, that was written to be.
Did both of their parents, both of their partners, die?
So they wrote it to where Mike's wife had died.
Okay,
and that. Carol was divorced.
Isn't that interesting?
But the network again was like, that premiered in 69, so they were like, no.
Absolutely.
But,
not.
That's how taboo it was back then.
But like, and I, if memory serves, I don't think they ever really addressed why she had three kids but wasn't married.
Well,
let me think back. There was a story of a lovely lady.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go
she
on.
She was living.
And she really liked the D.
Yeah.
But I mean, even Lucy and Desi had separate beds. Like, it's just, and even in this one,
they didn't show any, but right? Didn't they all have separate beds on network TV? Couldn't they not?
Yeah.
Who was the first one to sleep in?
People go back and forth.
It was Mary Tyler Moore and Dick Van Dyke. No.
No, they had separate beds. I know the Munsters.
Did they?
She shared a bed.
But they're monsters. So.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
That's probably why they got away with it.
If you do it right.
That's right.
The Monsters is the first one that sticks out in my head.
Okay. But I feel like that the new version of that is same-sex marriage. Like, and that's referenced in this one. There's a quick reference
barely,
to it.
Jeez.
When I heard it, I was like, well, that was interesting.
I mean,
and I'm all for it.
Yeah, but the problem that Disney keeps doing, like, okay, so this is allegedly, this is the first time ever that Disney has had an openly gay character.
There wasn't one in Zootopia?
No, you just see the two parents or whatever in the background.
Okay.
The only reason why this is the first is because of that one throwaway line.
That is a very
and people
quick
are
line.
Getting frustrated, and I get it because it's like you keep trying to be quote unquote woke or whatever, but you do so little, and,
right.
and you're more inferring it than anything because, and this line is, you know, oh, it's hard being a new parent. My girlfriends.
Did she say partner or girlfriend?
No, she says girlfriend. Okay. That's why. Okay. That's the only reason why. But also, girlfriend's another name for my friend that's a girl.
Right.
So they won't just like double down and do it. You know that's what they're saying, but still, that could be interpreted the other way. And so they're patting themselves on the back for like Joe Russo saying my boyfriend in the Marvel movie and this person saying my girlfriend. But they're not really showing you, and it's very...
Joe Russo doesn't say. He says he.
Well, that's the problem. Why?
Yeah,
screwed around. So anyway, but they're not really. I don't know. They're trying to get the diversity points or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like it's.
I feel like we're at the. It's 2020.
Right. Just
like,
do it.
You know, like there was a moment. So there's a kid in my daughter's class who has two moms.
Yeah.
And it was just like then she and Bella asked, and I was like,
yeah, it's
yeah
so
dude,
normal.
You
now.
Love who
yeah.
you love. Like yeah. that's as long as everybody's on the same page. Yeah. Who
well,
cares?
This generation of ours as parents is the ones, you know, because there's still a lot of people that don't feel that way. But
yeah,
but when
Tom,
our,
for example,
but when our generation is growing up, I feel like most people feel that way. And then, of course, we'll teach our kids. And so
right.
going forward, it's going to be a lot easier.
For sure.
So,
but I just thought that was interesting when she said that. I was like,
right. But this movie's banned.
Really?
So that's the other thing, and I didn't mention it in news. I saved it for this. So because of that one throwaway line where she says, being a new parent is hard, my girlfriend's kid has me on the run or whatever, they banned it in like 4 or 5 different countries, and I believe...
What countries?
Ones that are strict.
Yeah,
the strict
okay.
ones.
Right.
But still, I mean, but they won't even show the movie, and then in Russia, they changed it to my partner instead of
it's
my girlfriend.
So, it is so weird to... Like living in this country, right? As wherever we are, where we are,
gotta be thankful because look how
I know it's insane to me that a country can be like change your movie,
yeah,
or we're not gonna. It's like what? What do you mean change? Like it's just like living in the United States, right? Like it's just art, you know. Like nobody's gonna tell you don't
take
do,
it, and that's what people take for granted.
Yeah, don't
a lot.
Do that. Don't you can't do that. You can't say that. It's like I may not be able to say that. I'm going to put the movie out and you may not play it, but that's your choice.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to you can't tell me to change the message or whatever I'm trying to say in this moment.
Yeah,
but it's nuts to me that that's a thing.
So when Disney makes decisions like this, and that's why I kind of wish they would just double down if they're going to get banned anyway, but it's like they have to literally leave millions of dollars on the table for these countries because that's how strict the rules are. So I would think that maybe eventually they'll change it.
Do you think that Disney, I guess they, I'm just thinking with Bob Iger leaving, like, does that change anything?
I don't think so. The other guy has been working with Bob Iger for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like he's right there with him. And I feel like they probably share a pretty decent.
I would say
ideology.
That Iger's a Trump guy, but I feel like every dude that's in charge of like a multi-billion-dollar company is a Trump guy.
If you're a billion,
like
if you're
that's
a millionaire,
just kind of the way it is.
If you're a millionaire and you know? You're 60 or whatever, I think that's just because that's how you know. But
yeah, I just feel like that's it doesn't matter.
But Disney's
you know?
A very progressive company. As
I
far
don't
as
disagree.
Like, you know, they have their gay days at the park.
Yeah.
They sell merchandise with the rainbows and everything on it. I mean, so they welcome it, and that's why I don't get why they feel the need to tiptoe around it in movies. Because I guess you'd have people boycotting it. There are still people out there.
But do you think that the boycott?
I think from their standpoint, and if you're not telling a story about gay people, like if the movie's not specifically this is a gay story,
right?
I think most people just look at it and go, there's no upside. If it's not there, nobody's going to say, why didn't you have an ancillary character
that's true.
That was homosexual? And so,
and then if you do throw it in there just as like a throwaway line, then you're like, well, now you're being a...
That's
you know,
the problem.
You're
if you don't own it, you're
going to
be... By doing what they did, Disney's going to get the brunt of the,
right, you put this
in here. And for the other communities, it's going to be like, thanks. I mean, you didn't really... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I do think is different, not to stay on this topic too long, but by putting it in there, I know that you may not see a huge upside, but for the people that are represented, I mean, that's a huge deal, right?
Yeah.
Like for
we talked about that with Black Panther.
Yeah, for the people that are gay in this case, when they see that on screen, that makes them feel included because they are a person, a human being, and they're not represented in a lot of things, or you know, they haven't for a long time. But the other cool thing this movie does is, do you see the guy with the arm braces?
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
That's something that they clearly put in you know, for a reason.
Right.
But it's like, you know what? How many people with arm braces have never seen themselves in an animated movie?
Yeah.
Someone that, you know, doesn't have full use of their legs and has to use those. Like, what can you remember? Where have you ever seen in an animated film someone giving a character? Because, you know, cartoons, animated, you don't have to give people disabilities. Like, you can draw whatever you want, right?
It's Miles and Black Panther. It's Miles Morales. Same thing, where you get to see yourself represented on screen.
So I give credit for that.
That's why people like Spider-Man.
Totally.
Like, that was the first time you kind of saw a nerd become the hero.
Right.
And it was projection, and you go,
you could be anybody under that mask.
Right.
And granted, they created Miles.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is a brilliant move. Like, he's a great character.
Yeah.
But it also, it adds that extra level, right? Like, that's my kid. My kid wants to be Miles Morales for Halloween. And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And the other one wants to be Gwen. And I was like, cool. Works out perfectly because I don't have to worry about your name.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I agree. Like, it's either you do it and you own it, but don't do throwaway lines.
It's kind of like rated R horror movies. Like, if you're gonna make it rated R and you're denying that box office to the PG-13 crowd, it's like, well, then do it, right? Or cut the tiny stuff and make it 13 and let everyone see it. So
right.
But anyway, so yeah, they're dealing with the loss of the dad, and the mom gives them the scroll.
Yeah, so he goes to school and he's got this list of things that he wants to, you know, stand up for yourself or speak up for yourself, invite the kids to the party, and he just learn to drive
mouth,
and he just can't just struggling. Like, he just can't do it. I felt for the kid in that school, the classroom scene where the guy's got his feet all over his desk.
The noises, the sound.
Oh, God.
Those Foley artists that made every time this huge ogre had his feet on his chair.
Like, squeaked and squished.
It was squishy, yeah. Could you please not put your feet on my chair?
He's like, sorry, bro.
I can't concentrate on my homework without my elevated...
with the blood flow to my brain. And it was almost like a little... there are elements of Marty McFly with this character. And I think
you're just seeing it
I
now.
Really... I'm not, though. Like... Where he's just, you know,
Marty is cool and confident. This kid's not Marty.
That is true. Yeah. Marty is very cool. But that, like,
Marty was very comfortable in his own skin.
He's a troublemaker. So, getting like
he wasn't a troublemaker.
Well, I'm just he's getting
he
late
played
class.
That loud rock and roll.
Yeah,
according to Huey Lewis, that's true.
But no, I mean, think about him and the principal.
Yeah.
And he's late for school and he's sneaking in.
He's a troublemaker.
Yeah,
that's literally the definition.
I guess that was
literally bald headed principal. Catching you for being late to school.
I don't know why we got to double down on the bald part, but
you have hair.
Yeah, Strickland had
for the moment.
Jesus Christ, that guy ever have hair?
Yeah.
I was just excited for some representation. Of
see,
even though I was 15,
you and Strickland,
and still had hair.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so he.
He gets home.
He gets well. The brother comes to pick him up, and of course, this is where he fumbles it even more because
Guinevere.
Oh man, it's so good.
His steed.
So yeah, he gets home and he's just having a crap day. Like, it just didn't go. Nothing went the way he wanted it to go. And his mom kind of feels for him, and she's like, "Look, I've got this present from your dad. I was gonna wait till tonight, but it seems like you've had a garbage day. Here's this." And she goes upstairs to the crawl space and she brings out this like thing wrapped in a
big
tarp.
Scroll. It's like a big
That's I thought it was like a knapsack. They unwrap it and it's a magical staff. And inside the staff is a phoenix gem and a spell that will bring his dad. Oh, the gut punch. The first thing is like when he's got that tape, that audio tape, and he like has his own, like it's his dad messing with the tape, trying to get it to work.
Yeah.
But he's listened to it so many times that he's able to have a real conversation.
He's never talked to his dad. And so he talks to the,
and the tape, obviously the answers aren't directed at the question, but like he makes his questions work to where
he's
the answers.
He's scripted a conversation,
right?
And that's how he gets to talk to his dad.
That one
very emotional. One thing is too, it's like I just the father son connection. I mean, I have a son,
sure,
and you know I'm going to have another one, so I think that's why it particularly hit me.
Bragger,
right?
And I have two girls,
but you know it really hit me, and you know I didn't even think about it really like directly, but like I've never met my dad.
I was gonna add, but
I've never met my dad, so I'm actually in a similar situation.
Yeah,
although I don't care, like you know what I mean.
Sure,
like I was raised by my mom and grandma, and I think I turned out all right, and whatever. So. If I do say so myself, moving on.
Yeah, it will
but,
be yourself.
So, yeah, so I don't actually care. So I didn't find it emotional from that. But I guess I just thought of like, well, you know, it's great that I'm able to be in my son's life, and I'm going to be in my other son's life. And so I don't, it just touched me that way. And I guess maybe because I haven't had my other son, and what if something happened to me, he'd be in this situation. This
sure,
like,
sure.
I don't, you know, it hasn't happened.
I guess as I mean, I am a son, but yeah. You know, but
oh, is that how that works?
That is how that works. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, right. Congratulations.
Thank you very yeah. much. But I mean, even as a father of the two girls, like, yeah. you know, two girls, and one of them, the oldest, is, I mean, she's very much like, not like a boy, but she's into the same things.
You've raised her.
That's true. Yeah.
With
yeah.
a son in mind.
Yeah. I really,
like, you haven't skirted the subject.
No.
Like, oh, she's a girl. She won't like wrestling. Like, you've just gone
just
about
like,
your.
You want to go to wrestling? Yeah. She's like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. And so she plays sports and she likes, you know, the kind of the same things that I do. So yeah. it's like, it is. There is, I am able to have that, yeah. that bond with her. The other one.
Did Leanne put her foot down and say, you are not raising a son the second time? Like, did she ever?
I don't think that I had I had no intention of raising her.
I know
way.
You didn't mean to. I'm just wondering if but she's was, like, this time it's like, she's a girly girl.
So
she's going to be.
Here's the thing is they're both so different.
Yeah.
The other, you know, the Gwen, the youngest is just, she's just. It's funny, I wasn't sober at this point in Bella's life. Mm. So now that I am sober, I have a different perspective on this whole thing. They're just so too varied. And this, the Gwen is just a very girly, bubbly little thing where Bella was not. Like, that's just how yeah. she was, you know?
She probably because Leanne put an incantation on
maybe.
Her. Like, you
she,
are going
but she
to
was
be
always kind of like a rough and tumble kid.
Yeah.
Like, that, and I can't, that wasn't on me. Like, but yes, it is true. I was like, let's go to wrestling. And she was like, okay. And, you know, but I also think it was an opportunity for us to be alone, mm. like, for her and I to have, yeah. like, one time. So, like, she would just kind of do whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, going to baseball games or wrestling events, which was the thing.
So he gets this scroll in the staff yeah. with a spell. He, the dad created a magical spell, and they knew nothing. And the funny line, like, he was an accountant,
yeah, right.
not a wizard.
A wizard. What was it? What do you think his wizard name?
But apparently he and his lineage or family, like, came from the family. I'm guessing one of those wizards that was trying to put yeah. the light on at home probably was one of his relatives. And so, like, the dad grew up knowing and interested in magic still, and so he left them the spell that if they say it right or do it right, they can get him for one day.
Right. One day.
And this
from,
is the chance
from
for
sun
Ian.
Up to sunset. Yeah. And so Barley, the older brother, can't, like, this is a very funny scene where he's just trying as so hard.
And he's so into this stuff. Like, of yeah. all the family, right. Barley's the only one that, I mean, he loves. He has his D&D all over the kitchen table or whatever. Like,
right.
he's into, he knows the magic
spells.
I do
love that the Minotaur boyfriend, like, there's nowhere for him to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like knocking stuff over constantly.
In the car.
Like, yeah.
It's like, how?
Like, didn't they make a high tower from Police Academy?
Yeah, you would right. think that, like, if there are Minotaurs in this world, then people would make things that,
right.
Fit. Yeah, fit for
it's
them.
A funny gag, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, Barley's the only one that even, like, he loves this stuff. So he's all about it, like, in the spells written out, and he says it, and it's like a time lapse with him in all the positions.
Right.
And nothing
doing. And finally, they kind of give up, and then Ian, the younger brother, picks it up and just kind of.
No, he just says it.
He's, oh, that's
like,
right.
He's
holding the staff,
it,
and he
yeah.
just, and it starts to work.
Yeah.
And then here comes Barley, and they kind of, he distracts him, and there's a big explosion, and then. They wake up, and then here's the bottom half of their dad. Like, the dad, it's just like the hips to the yeah. feet. Like,
there's
that's
no
it.
Torso.
There's no torso, and they freak him out. Like,
that's literally the plot of this movie, and I had no idea going into it. I'm like, this is different for a kid's movie. It's legs walking around.
But it's also, it's really sweet the way that they...
The connection.
I used to play, like, bop, you know. Like,
they set it all up, you know. It's,
right.
You know, it's cool. Barley does da-da-da-da-da.
And the dad does da-da yeah. with his feet. So
and then he just reaches out.
That is
out
called
his...
shave and a haircut?
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Shave
and
a
haircut.
Two bits.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll learn something new every day.
I learned, and when I did, like, third grade violin, we used to go do.
See, they just made us play the recorder.
Recorder.
We're not going to give that.
God, I'm glad I was born a few years later. You're still had recorders.
Oh yeah,
I had Suzuki violin.
Oh, yeah, so did I. You had a violin or recorder?
Suzuki violin.
Oh, so it's just okay. Never mind.
Damn it.
What?
City schools.
Yeah,
got recorders.
It's all they could
They're
afford.
A bit cheaper. Well, I mean, literally. I mean,
no,
if,
I know, yeah.
violins are what, $400 or $500 for a cheap one.
The school just handed them out, like, and then we.
Like,
no,
were,
not that you bought them. I mean,
yeah.
they provide them. I mean, to buy a violin is like $400 or $500.
Yeah,
you did,
and now you can rent them. Like
there,
yeah. like when the kids are doing violin or
middle school, yeah,
middle school,
rent them, yeah.
and so or no, it's grade school, and then
Like in grade school, they provide them for free, at least for us.
No, we
But
had
in
to
middle
go
school,
rent
you have to. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a recorder.
Yeah, but anyway, you had a recorder. But so, but yeah, you get sweet moments where this is the Pixar thing, though. This is what they do best, where they can evoke, they get this emotion out of you without.
Yeah,
it's a pair of legs, but they right. do the shaving haircut mm-hmm. thing, and they do the he reaches out and he's able to touch and interact with Ian for the first time.
Right,
and they just have this moment.
Uh-huh.
And when you step back and you're like, I'm watching a pair of legs walk around. Yeah, it's so right. weird and so different. But then
even when they put the Weekend at Bernie's style thing on top of the yeah, on the top funny. Half, we're like they're able to get a lot of emotion.
Well,
and,
yeah, hanging the head out the window,
right, yeah,
and the arm,
like given the yes, the, fair, the yeah. okay, the fairies, which are actual fairies. I'm just gonna make yeah. sure that's
oh yeah,
yeah.
But
it's
you
not
know,
a slur. It's not a slur.
When I step back and thought about this, so I go, okay, this is weird because I didn't know what we were getting here. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, this movie's actually pretty much wholly original, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah. That's. I think if they would have done what you wanted them to yeah. do, I think it may not have been as good.
Yeah.
But the fact that they do take left turns at every
they just
single
surprise
time.
You because how many movies have you seen, especially kids' movies, where D&D is like an active topic?
Yeah.
I mean the Stranger Things is the one that like kind of brought it back to the forefront, yeah. but that was very niche.
But when it is, it's code for like
nerd. You're a nerd.
Oh, yeah. You know, where
and this movie is just like, you know, he plays D&D and he loves these quests and yeah. they talk about it because there are a lot of people that play D&D in tabletop games.
Yeah.
And this just makes it normal. And then again, like back to the Lord of the Rings style, like, you know, old the armor and the statues and the mythology and all that. It's just this movie does all these things that I had no idea they were going to go there. And it made them very like mainstream without being yeah. like, oh, this is a nerdy topic or something. You know, they just because
well, it became a major plot point. Like it yeah. was the reason they know what to do is because Barley is so steeped in that yeah. world that Barley and that leads to like the.
And Barley is not a nerdy character. See,
he's
to
not.
Tom's point,
right,
when
right,
you bring
right.
up D&D,
he's a cool kid.
It's the nerdy, you know, real life role play, whatever, where it's like, yeah, I can solve our problem because I know about the wizard staff, right? Yeah. And in this movie, Barley is this big burly dude
right.
who's got like, you know, whatever, like rock and roll
he's
shirt
got like
and
punk,
patches.
He's got like a punk rock.
And he drives a big old
jacket,
beat up van.
Heavy metal.
Was it?
Those were all
yeah,
heavy metal logos style.
Definitely. Oh,
okay.
The one was Hades.
Oh, that's true.
Like that's metal.
Yeah, metal.
That's not
yeah.
punk. That's
but
metal.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool like in your face guy. But then he's also like, I know the level 5 dragon. Blah blah blah.
Right.
He's a Pixar equivalent of a burnout. Like you
yeah,
don't see
pretty
him
much
smoking
yeah.
or drinking, but yeah. he's a burnout.
Yeah,
and that's the other topic they broach. They yeah. don't in Pixar usually or in kids movies like. You know, I think my brother's a screw up.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a topic that comes up in these kids' movies.
No, yeah. and then he lies about it. Like
yeah,
it's, yeah.
But they deal with this. Like, it's a topic about, like, this kid, and we find out why later, but I don't know. I thought that was refreshing. They keep hitting me with these things that I didn't expect.
That's what I'm saying, is this movie never goes one road on the highway.
Yeah.
Like, it's down the path of peril yeah. the entire time.
So they need
it explodes the Phoenix gem, so yeah. they have to get a second Phoenix gem, and Ian is so desperate to see his dad that he's just like, okay, like let's do, you know, whatever we got to do. So they go on they tell their mom, they're like, be back with a big surprise, written in very like metal,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Like the handwriting is very metal looking, and they go to find the Magna Core. Is that what it was called? That was what she was called.
No, a
manticore.
Manticore.
There was a manticore's tavern.
Yes.
Which used to be the rough and tumble place. Oh, and
I
now,
love leading up to it. They go like, through the woods and it's dark and they yeah. open it up and it's a Chuck E. Cheese.
It's, right,
yeah,
it's right. a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. And they, you know, Barley's doing his
thing. The menus and the like oh, let me send you on your quest. And the oh my God, the manticore mascot
yes.
was
yeah.
hilarious. Yeah. Like dancing and checking. Oh my God. I mean, once this got going to the adventure, I really loved it.
Guinevere yeah. and on the road,
yeah. right?
And I'd like to watch it again, knowing because I'm not saying that the beginning was bad, but I was just so like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And taken aback by it. But you know, when I think back to it, like I said at the end of the movie, I'm like, I think I loved this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's really fun.
And I will say, I usually save the stubs that I have seen movies with Bella with. As we're in the car, my radio doesn't work. So, like, I just happened to turn the car on and the radio started working. And she was like, it's magic!
That's awesome.
And, but
that's
then, she's, then she says, as we're sitting there, she's like, this was the best experience I've ever had. The best time at a movie I've ever had with you.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, shoot, okay.
So,
so, like, I went home and took the call. I took the ticket and I wrote on the back of the ticket. And I'm, so, like, now I've got
that's
that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. It made me tear up just thinking, like, talking about it.
That's sweet.
So... yeah, so they're on the road. They find the gal's like, no. Barley's like, no, I mean the real one. And she was like, you mean
she's trying to give him kids menus for the word scramble.
She's like,
that's
do you
like,
mean Corey? And he was like, I guess. And so like here comes the
manticore.
The manticore.
Which is like a huge lion with dragon wings
with
kind
a
of a
scorpion
thing.
Tail.
Yeah, it's pretty
which
cool.
was dope.
It's a cool
awesome.
Design.
It's a very cool design. Yeah. And she basically says
she's like domesticated now. Yeah. She's a business owner and she has to deal with, she says, like investors. And
I have
stuff.
Investors now. Yeah. And I can't do this kind of stuff. And Tom Holland basically says, you gave it all up. Like you, this was supposed to be, you were supposed to be free and wild and all this other. And finally she snaps and she,
but they saw the map on the wall, the real map. And she takes it away and says, nope.
Cause this is where the liabilities like... and all this other stuff. So she burns and she ends up turning back into the manticore and she burns the whole thing down. Yeah. She roasts the Chuck E. Cheese version of the manticore.
So funny when the
great.
Face melts and goes on the table and the family's like, and runs away.
So, they run away and this is Julia Dreyfus, his character, like shows up and talking to the new boyfriend and she has a run-in with Corey and she's like, oh no, they're fine. Like I told them where to go and I told them about I forgot to tell him about the curse. And they're like, the curse?
The curse.
So then now
the mom
now
found the like D&D cards that said that they need to go to the tavern because of the Phoenix Gem. So she put that together and headed out to find him.
Correct.
Because
so,
the room's in shambles. Like when he activated the spell,
it
actually like spun all the books around in this, and the room got destroyed.
Right.
So she knew that it wasn't, even though the note's like, hey, we have a surprise and looked all innocent, but she knew something,
Was up. Yeah. So now we've actually got like two road movies, but we focus on the brothers. Like the Corey and the mom are around, but your focus is on the
back
brothers.
Back and forth. She's trying to get to the boys before anything bad happens. They're trying to get to the Phoenix Gem before the next day sunset because the half of the dad will disappear. And Ian just wants a moment with the dad.
Right.
And so like if they line it up right, they're sad because they may not be able to get the dad back to say hi to the mom in time, but they can at least have that time with him. Like they're traveling.
And he's kind of just like, oh man, we can't get him back in time to see mom. And they're both kind of like, oh well.
Yeah. she had enough time with him.
Right. So they've realized, okay, so they don't have
mom's probably like, well, the part I care about the most is here.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. Her new boyfriend is a Minotaur.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how do you access it?
I have no idea.
Right?
That's
a
great question.
Game that out.
No, thank you.
No,
so,
moving on.
They're on the road.
So they're on the road and they realize they don't.
Porn.
It's got to be out there somewhere.
Yeah. They run out of gas.
Yeah, they run out of gas. Is that first or is that?
I think so. I got to walk to the gas station.
Okay. Which I thought was a great scene where
his bikes roll up.
Not even the bikes, but like them trying to like, they have this gas can. But the idea is like, okay, we don't have a lot of gas, but if we blow up the gas can, the gas inside will grow as well and we'll be good to go.
Yeah.
He's like, but you have to have complete concentration. And of course, Barley is kind of overbearing where he's just like, pick your elbow up, do it this way. And it messes up the spell and they accidentally shrink Barley. And I think this is a hilarious scene where he's like, it worked. The gas can is huge. The van is huge. I'm small, aren't I? So they end up going to the gas station, and then this is where we see a bunch of fairies.
Pixies.
Thank you. That makes way easier. riding motorcycles, because, of course, they don't fly anymore, right? Like, they're all in charge. Yeah,
everybody's magic is kind of waned.
Yeah, exactly.
But these are, like, the toughest. So, like, you think
these are, like, Sons of Anarchy.
Pixies. Yes. Yes.
Like, even though they're tiny, they still behave as if they're tough. And than they actually are.
When that guy is leaving the gas station
like,
with his soda, and she's like, "Watch where you're going! Did you run into me?" And like, he drops it, and, like runs away. So fun.
So this is, you get kind of a run in between Barley and the Pixies, and the Pixies are just like, "What do you mean we used to flee?" He's like, "No, I used to do this, and the wings were great, blah blah." He's like, "I'm not saying
you stopped using."
She's like, "Are you saying I'm lazy?" He's like, "No, I'm not saying you're lazy. Your grandparents are probably lazy, yeah, but not you." And he's so like, they have to run away, and they knock over the bikes.
The dad does. So they've got the dad on a dog leash, which is one of those retractable ones.
Yeah.
So it's really funny, and that's how they lead him around. And Ian's like, "Hey, we gotta go," and he's pulling the leash, and of course he's just legs, like he just follows, and he bumps into the bikes and knocks them all over. But he also has that like Weekend at Bernie's type thing, because the upper half is like a sweatshirt with a volleyball or whatever is a head, like they've disguised
it.
And so, you know, he looks like a person, and the Pixies are like, "Hey, what's where you're going?"
Right.
And they're like, no,
he's fine, he didn't mean to do it on purpose. So they take off, and of course he's like, the dad's half of his body's kind of leaning out the window, and he's like, it looks like he's giving him the what for, but he's just like, it's just the wind in his hand. It's very Weekend, like I said.
Yeah.
Very Weekend at Bernie's. This is where Ian has to drive. Like, he has to merge. He has to get on the highway. We have to get to this one spot.
Barley's standing on the seat. He's so small. He's like,
No, he's grown. He's growing in this process. Like,
not yet. Ian takes Ian takes the wheel because he has to. Like, Barley's like, I can't do anything. It's when they're on the highway or whatever driving, he starts like,
that's right,
growing. But anyway, so yeah. But they set up earlier with a driving instructor, that, like, merging onto highway traffic, and this is like the most terrifying highway traffic ever, and you know the lane is ending and you have to merge, so he failed earlier, and now
on highway 70 at the airport.
But it is bad.
It's bad. So, and he does it, and he gets over, and there's a good little chase scene with the Pixies and
on the motorcycles, but he has to get across like five lanes of traffic to exit, and it's just,
of course, the van doesn't have any blinkers, and Barley's like, just put your arm out, it'll let him know. And of course he does it the last possible second. He's got a perfect run, and he gets off on the right highway. So they realize they don't have a map, but they have like this kid's placemat, and it just happens to have,
because
Ravens.
She said it was the kid's maps were based on the original map,
right? So they get to on the map, it says Ravens Point, and he's like, that's where we're going, and they drive to Ravens Point. They get to
Barley wants to take a shortcut, and Ian's like, look at the map. The highway goes right to Ravens Point.
Right.
So, you know, this time, and to their credit, I like this, because this is another one of those, you think like he's going to somehow force him to do this stupid, wacky decision, but Ian talks to him. He's like, look, dude, we need to see Dad, and we only have time, and they actually go on the highway.
Yeah.
You know, to their credit. I'm like, okay, that wasn't the trope you would expect. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he actually, so, but in they another
lose,
movie,
they lose, the, they lose
expect,
the bumper going the manicores. Place
that's
right?
Later when they do end up pulling off,
okay,
but
okay.
At first it's like they do go on that road, which I thought was, again, refreshing.
Yeah. So they're on their way, and they end up coming across two police officers, and of course the two cops come get
because out of, they're like, he was driving erratically.
right. So they get out of the car, and this is where we get the line about the girlfriend, and they have to use a deception spell. But
and this,
like,
is also a monster that looks just like Leela from Futurama.
I thought the same thing.
She's pink with purple hair and one eye. Like,
I was like, that's
when that poster came out. Leela.
They own Leela.
Wow,
it's a Fox show.
You know, but that's weird though, because I don't know how the rights work. Like Futurama, remember it went off Fox and went to Comedy Central, and Futurama's not on Disney Plus, which you'd think if they had that huge library, they would have.
That's a good point.
So I don't know if
but it might already be under license to another. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Where,
like, there are some shows they already have licensed.
It's on Hulu, I think, which Disney owns now, or at least majority. So I don't know how that works.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Anyway, so I don't know what the rights are there, but yeah, like when that poster came out, it's like, that's the design. It's pretty clear,
right? They have to use the deception spell.
Cool thing is that Ian, along the way, has been able to use magic. Like, he's very sensitive to magic, and even though they don't have a Phoenix gem, which is needed for the dad's resurrection or whatever for a day,
the staff,
like,
he can do other stuff.
Yeah, he has a wizard with a staff. Like, as long as he has that staff, he can do little things.
Right.
Like, you know, like in this instance where he can
look like Officer Clip Clop.
Yeah.
Or whatever his
name is. As long as he doesn't lie.
As long as he lies,
he starts
deteriorating.
His nose grows. Yeah. I mean, he turns into something.
Right. So then they start asking questions, and of course he lies about something, and his ear turns into Ian's ear, and then his arm turns into Ian's arm. And then finally he figures out, he's like, just answer their questions with questions. And so
I liked this a lot. The questions with questions. And then she's just like, yeah, okay,
but you haven't answered
my
question. And this is the scene where the one cop's like, yeah, man, you've got a hard with that brother, and he was like, "Oh, Ian's not that
bad."
This
was a gut. This is another kind of gut punch, though, because when Ian, his right. one talk, doing all the talking, yeah, says, "Oh, he's. I don't think he's a screw up." And then a part of him transforms, like
his
the leg.
His leg turns into a regular.
And
leg.
The brother's like, "What?" Like the brother knows this brother that has been taking care of him and raising him, doing all this stuff. His own brother thinks he's a screw up,
right?
And so,
right,
it's rough.
And this is there's a bit of tension when they get back in the car. Mm-hmm. They get away with it basically, and they
oh, gotta go, you know, real quick.
Right, and the cop's like, "Can I talk to you know?" Gets on the radio and calls officer.
Well, she sees the footprints.
Right,
she saw that it transformed from hooves into feet.
Feet,
regular feet.
Right. Yeah. So now we've got a chase movie. Like the cops are chasing.
Yeah.
Him.
The cops are after him. The mom's after him. Right. And, right. Yeah. They're.
So they get to this drawbridge. And there's no way to get across, so they have to use like an invisible bridge. Basically, they have to make their own bridge.
The other cops were across.
No, they came across the bridge.
No, they came from the other direction. They went forward into the other cops that are clearly in this jurisdiction. He called for backup. So I'm like, how were they across then?
Maybe there was a different bridge.
I'm just saying that's a little odd that there's a big, huge, bottomless cavern. And somehow the backup that he called came from that direction.
Right.
So anyway, that's the other direction they're trying to go.
Oh, okay.
So
that okay.
doesn't really line up, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Just saying,
this,
I mean,
this is a
can't
good...
only pick apart the movies I don't like.
No,
you know?
No, I get it.
I'm like,
it.
That made no sense, but okay.
This is where he has to, like, you have to believe in the bridge. Like, if you don't believe
this
the,
was hilarious.
The invisible
yeah.
bridge
this
is there,
was a really good
this
scene.
Is good.
You won't work. So he ties a rope. He's like, "I'm going to tie a rope around you."
Which I thought should negate the spell, because if you believed, you wouldn't need a rope around you.
That's true.
But he only had the confidence, I guess, knowing there was a backup. He believed. I know what you mean. That,
yeah.
Like, that doesn't necessarily check out, but I get that, like, this character is just so nervous that it's like, he's like, "Yeah, this is working, and I believe it." But knowing he had a safety net, you know, I don't know. But yeah,
that's fair. But anyway, he gets halfway across and the rope falls off.
And I love it. He's just holding it. But he's like, "Do you have the rope?" And Bobby goes,
"Yes, I do.
I have the rope."
Right.
He's holding it. That was a very funny line.
Yeah.
And this last step's for you, Dad.
And
he turns
around
back.
And he looks at him. And of course he falls.
Oh, my God.
He's like, "How long was that? How long did you not have that on?" He's like,
"Oh, not
halfway.
Just the second half."
Yeah, right. He's like, I needed that rope. He's like, "Did you?
Yeah.
Did you need that rope?"
But luckily, he catches himself on a rock
right.
and pulls himself up because, I mean,
bad
it looked like he was. Yeah.
Movie would be over. Yeah, right. So they drop the bridge. The cop
he would
show
die
up
of starvation
because he's just constantly falling.
Because it's a bottomless pit.
Bottomless pit and never ends.
Cops come. Clip flops
yeah.
one way, the other cops are driving into him.
And he says, he's like, "Nope, they're the cops. Like, we got to do what they got to
do."
Oh,
at first the cop just stops him and says, "You're going to go back." And Ian's like, "We better do what he says."
Right.
And he gets in the car, but then he floors it and starts.
I do like where Barley's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I have no idea."
Yeah.
And he takes off and they follow. They realize that the raven, all of these ravens, like we're not going to the mountain. Like these statues are pointing to other.
This
spots.
Is Barley.
Each yeah. statue of a raven is clearly pointing in a
raven's,
certain direction.
Right, the
raven's point.
Yeah.
But this is again Barley going, you know, the road, the highway's too obvious. He's
right.
like, the thing on the map called Raven's Point, that's too obvious. We found ravens, they're pointing. So
we'll
it's his decision,
those.
Which comes back later when they end up going in a big circle. Spoiler
right.
alert. But they follow all these ravens, and it's a great chase scene.
It's a very good chase scene.
And Barley has to let Guinevere go
yep.
in order to get away from
I
the cops.
I do love the tape that says Valhalla Rising.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like,
and
yeah, that's great.
One of my complaints about this movie is the music.
Yeah.
I wish they would have used
real metal guys. Like, there should have
yeah.
been, like, Yngwie and Steve Vai and,
yeah.
you know, like, the, you know,
those
Lynch.
Those like
because that's clearly the music he's listening
sure,
to.
Yeah.
And instead of having studio musicians like replicate it,
yeah.
I wish they would have actually hired those guys.
I mean, they do that in Coco, right? Like Shakira plays a
what?
Zootopia. I'm sorry, Zootopia, where Shakira plays like a pop star.
Yeah.
So you could get like those
but
bands.
It's her own song. Like it's a new song. It's not her.
Yeah, but you could get a band to come in and do
oh, a new
you know,
one, but
some,
their style.
Yeah,
right.
their style of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I was glad you mentioned it because when I was watching it, I couldn't recognize the song, so I was thinking
right.
they were just generic.
And even if they were going to have new things, like then have those guys, they're still out there.
Right.
I
you know what I mean?
They decided, I mean, they've got all the money. You think
yeah,
it
like,
was a license?
I mean,
thing?
I'm
what?
Sorry. Like, it can't be that expensive
yeah.
to hire Yngwie Malmsteen or George Lynch.
Right.
I have to look into why. There's got to be
yeah.
a reason. Why did they not just use metal? But, you know, this world isn't the
Satriani.
Human.
Satriani. Like, ooh, you know, like you could,
good.
like, yeah, like they've got the money.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
So yeah, so he sacrifices Guinevere to
the slow motion and
the tire blowing out,
cracking up just like, the way when he sends it off, and
yeah,
it's
it was very good.
But it does like the boulders fall over and cave in,
stop the cops,
blocks the cops,
right? So they find the next point, and the raven is pointing down. So they figure out that they move this thing. They take this little piece of
Cheetos.
No, they take like the little brick, the little cross brick.
Oh, the star thing that shows the map. Okay.
So they take that, they jump into the water, they find that it's this tunnel, they jump into the water, and they're like, God, this is going to take us forever to get where we're going. He's like, well, I mean, maybe if you make a boat, he's like, use what you got. So they take like, they're eating Cheetos, they take like this giant Cheeto and they blow it up to boat size. Then they use like another spell to make it go extremely fast down this.
This is Ryan's favorite part of the movie.
It's hilarious.
He's like, I love the giant Cheeto.
Just, who wouldn't? Like, it's your boat. You take like little pieces off.
I love that Barley's eating the pieces because now he has a huge Cheeto.
Right. And Ian's just like, can you stop eating the boat?
Don't eat too much of it.
So they get where they need to go, and you think they've reached the end, and they come up and they open the what you think is just like the next pot. The next spot, and it turns out it's a manhole cover.
And you know,
and
what?
It's right in front of the school.
Yeah, this is their full circle thing, right. And then of course they get into a blow up. I forgot to mention earlier what I like about this, and a lot of Pixar movies, like the struggle is internal. They're dealing with the loss of the father,
right.
The trouble with the brothers, you know, and there's no villain. Curly mustache twirling villain.
Yeah,
you know, and I like that. You know, there's a threat of that curse thing, but really, they're battling their own selves.
Right.
And I like that about Pixar movies. I like this because in another movie with a dragon and magic and stuff, you'd have the evil wizard trying to track down the Phoenix Gem and stop them.
Right.
And even, well, Coco definitely had like,
well, and Coco does have, even though there is next level stuff that he's dealing with, you know, and, but there is that,
yeah,
I can't remember
the bad guy,
but there is a bad guy in that, but
Benjamin Bratt.
Yeah, but a lot of times in these movies, in Pixar movies, they're deeper and they don't have that villain. And so I like that they focus more on these characters and their real human struggles.
Well, I think that's, you're right. Like that in real life, you're not going to deal with a supervillain.
Yeah,
right?
Most of the time
you're dealing with yourself or mm-hmm. somebody
and
in
obstacles.
Your life. Life obstacles, not Lex Luthor or, you know, the guy that's trying to steal your soul or whatever.
But they were clever enough that they still were able to get a big battle.
Totally.
Which I like. It wasn't a villain necessarily, but they ended up dealing with something, you know, an obstacle. And so I like that you got the action scene, but then also you weren't hampered by like they keep cutting back to the villain. That's like, oh, I'm going to get them now. Like we didn't need any of that.
No.
I enjoyed the relationship that we saw.
Right. So the time, you know, he's got a digital watch that actually has like old timey, like font, like that's what he's using. And you realize they've only got like 2 hours left. Mm-hmm. And he's
more like a Casio. It's like a
basically
digital Casio. Watches.
And Ian and Barley just blow it out. Like they get into this massive fight and Ian lets him have it, and not in the, you know, calls him out. Doesn't really call him out, but it unloads all of his frustration.
But he does. He's like, I'm taking Dad and spending the little time we have left. This is your fault because you said, you know, you tried to solve this puzzle when I was going to Raven's Point, like the map said, and you had to make a puzzle out of it.
Right.
And like, I'm gonna go spend the little time I have left with Dad. And so they go and do their thing, and Barley's looking defeated, and
he climbs up on the, he realizes that there was something in the quest book that makes a comment about like the last spot, and he just
he looks at the puzzle and he's like, "What could it be? Like, where were we supposed to go?"
The fountain that was referenced earlier is still there, so he runs up to the fountain, and of course the people are just like, "Ah, get off!" Like, "Oh God, he's back!"
Yeah.
Like, get him off of there, and he jumps up to the very top and he finds this little piece where the puzzle should go, and he puts it in. And poof! There's the raven or the
gemstone,
the phoenix gem.
whatever. The MacGuffin.
Yes. And of course, while all this is going on, Ian at the same time is having the revelation that he never had a dad and he didn't even need a dad.
Well, like, Barley, you didn't mention the curse. That's the big thing.
Well,
he gets the Phoenix Gem and the curse instantly starts coming out.
Well, yeah, but before that happens, Ian goes down his checklist and he realizes he's done all the things that he wanted to do with his dad with Barley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of that stuff is already done. Ian comes running
this
back.
This one made me well up to, like, this movie, like Coco, I got teary at the end, you know, that stuff. But this movie just kept doing it. And again, I think I was so surprised not knowing what we were getting into. And then with what we were getting into, I'm like, this is different. And then I just kept getting thrown off guard with how emotional it was making me. And
I
just think being a father, and then especially going to be a father again, like it just tapped into something
mm-hmm.
to where even though I feel like the story and maybe the script like it wasn't as next level Pixar, and maybe the voice acting wasn't as next level as they usually can be, but it still managed to make me feel like this, and that's why I was so confused at the end.
The movie as a whole works.
Yeah, because it does. Even if it's not as good as you come to expect from Pixar, yet if it can tap into your emotions like that and do what it's trying to do, then it's a success, and I ended up really enjoying it. So it was a really weird experience going through the whole thing, but now it makes me want to watch it again. I'm like, I really loved that movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so he realizes that he runs back and is going to apologize to Barley. And as Barley's taking the Phoenix Gem, all of a sudden here comes all this red smoke and it destroys the school. And of course the dragon
head.
I thought was hilarious. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I told Bell, I was like, that's the face.
All the seeds. I love it. All the seeds are planted in this. The mom doing a workout, which is like a medieval, like now slay that dragon or whatever they're doing. They don't say it, but she's doing these moves. Like they planted so many seeds in this movie that pay off, which is another reason why by the end, I'm like, this was so clever.
My favorite scene in the movie is one we didn't talk about, which was with, was Corey when she got her sword back.
When they go to the pawn store.
Yeah.
Tracy Ullman.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
That's great. And then she's going to sell it for crazy amounts of money.
Which I'm surprised she'd be in a movie with a Simpsons short before.
I think that's just a coincidence. Yeah. I don't think that was the plan when this
she
began.
She hates the Simpsons.
Oh, she does?
She sued them because she
it started on her show.
She hated it when it was on the air. She hated it because they were funnier than her. Like everyone, all anyone would talk about was the Simpsons on her show.
That makes sense.
And so she hated it. And then when it became popular, she goes, oh, that was my baby. I nurtured it along because she wanted a piece of that money.
Absolutely.
So there was a huge thing. So now I think that's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Anyway.
So yeah, so she hits her, going to charge this crazy amount of money. And all of a sudden you see like the little scorpion tail like sticker in the... And then
the mom's
off.
Like, you killed her or whatever.
Like, she's just paralyzed. Well, she'll be fine.
That was funny that she's like, oh, I'll have it for 10. She's like, oh, good, because this is the most amazing.
It's the only one of its kind. Yeah, she's like, 10,000.
Not a good negotiator.
No.
But the dragon busts out, and then the happy dragons or the mascots or whatever. Because I love, even though we're in the real world now and magic is basically gone, they've still evolved into like the school looks like a castle and the mascot's a dragon.
Mushroom town.
Right?
Whatever,
and so like... You still have all these medieval, cultural, I don't know, I can't think of the word, but you still have all this inspiration by the medieval magic stuff. It's just no one practices anymore.
Right.
But you see it in all the architecture. It was really clever the way they created this world to where it felt modern, but also like just like how our buildings and things draw inspiration from things that maybe don't exist
anymore.
If
we make a courthouse, it's going to feel like Roman architecture.
Exactly.
Columns.
Yeah. Very clever the way that they designed everything to be like, in this world, that makes sense.
Right. So they...
the dragon's assembled from the rubble of the school.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which looks great.
Yeah. That was one of the best looking things in the movie. Like, it's amazing.
And that face... Just cracked me up. The head of the dragon is the smiley, happy dragon mascot. And then when it gets
even
mad,
like the little eyebrows,
but it gets mad, and the stone eyebrows break apart and form eyebrows. Like,
So this is all of our characters converge here. Barley and Ian use the staff to bring their dad back, but at the same time, this dragon's attacking. So the mom and Corey try to head it off, and the mom kind of stabs. You got to stab the.
Well, at first, Barley's like, I'm going to go sacrifice myself, basically. Like, again, you think you're getting
a
trope.
I feel like he's, that's true.
But he's
true,
like, because he's like, you have your time with dad. I've already spent time with him. I got to know him. I'm going to run distraction, and who knows, sacrifice or not. But, like, you know, I'm going to go do this, the trope thing. But Ian, actually, this is where it went a completely different
direction.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, it did a 180.
He realized, he's like, I had my time with you, who have been my father figure. You know what I mean?
And
like,
and he never got to say goodbye.
And Barley had a negative interaction that he wants to kind of get back.
Right.
So it's a much great
like Star Lord.
So Ian goes off to fight the dragon.
He uses the force lightning for the first time and knocks the dragon down. And
the mom comes in with the manticore flying in, but she gets sent. Like,
she gets knocked off, but the mom ends up like running up the dragon's back and stabs him, stops him for a little bit. Because
they got to get to the core. There's this, like, literally this, like, glowing core that's powering the dragon from the curse or whatever. And so the mom picks up the sword, and the music starts playing from her workout.
Right.
And she does the same moves, which I thought was a great payoff.
Yeah.
And she ends up stabbing the thing, but because she's, like, smaller and she can't quite get in through the dragon, like, the cement.
She stops it for a second, but it doesn't.
She's trying to hold it.
Right. And this is where Ian kind of says, go say goodbye. Like, I have you. I don't have any memories of him. You go tell him what's up. You say goodbye, and I'll give you enough time to get it done. So he uses the force lightning, and he hits the dragon. Of course, the mom jumps up and stabs him, stabs the dragon through like the fire heart or whatever. And you
No, this was so badass. So he does the force lightning to shock the dragon.
Right.
And then he uses the levitation to propel the sword through the dragon's heart.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And explodes. It was so badass.
Yeah, that is very cool. I forgot about that.
I was not thinking again that we'd get to this big climactic, like you didn't know how the showdown was going to end.
Right.
And I just thought the action sequence of him fighting this dragon using the magic he's learned away was awesome.
No, it is awesome.
When he levitated that sword and sent it flying through the core.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, like slow clap. Like, that was
So he can see through the rubble. He can see that Barley has this interaction with his dad. And
like, it sucks. He can't get to him. He's right there.
But I think he knows that. He knows that he's trying to get Barley that time.
Totally. He's content. I just mean that, like, so close but so far away.
Right.
But he watches, yeah.
And he has the moment, and the dad disappears at the end of the day.
The waterworks.
I love the fact that we don't hear any of the conversation.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, I think.
Because there's nothing that they could have said there that would have...
And we know what they say. You know, but
we get the gist of it, where Barley comes back, and he was He's like, what did he say? He's like, he said his wizard name was like Willy Wakwa.
The whimsical, whatever.
Yeah. And he was like, God, that is terrible. He's like, yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, because that's the one thing. He's like, ask dad what his wizard name
is. Right. And then he kind of says, he's like, you know, he's proud of you. He's proud of, you know, us. And he's like, he wanted to give you something. He gives him a hug. And he's just like, you know.
This whole last like 5 or 10 minutes. Jeez.
Right. And so, you know, we cut back, you know, a little bit later, and everything's good with the family. Like Ian has the confidence, and he's driving, he's got friends, and he's teaching magic at the school. Barley has gotten a Guinevere too, and Ian has already painted a new unicorn with Viking Barley and like wizard Ian like riding.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I always wanted a van like that.
Typical rundown, beat up van.
A waterbed in the back.
Not even just shag carpeting. Okay. You know, I don't care. I'm not
made entirely out of pubes.
That's right.
But I like it when he's talking.
My buddy Charlie did have a van like, not entirely out of pubes, but like had a van like that.
Like he's presenting to the classroom and he's telling about how he defeated the dragon. And then he's like, I use magic to rebuild the school. And like, didn't you use magic to destroy the school?
He's like, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And everything's good. And they have, you know, their life.
You know, the clip clops around and they're getting along now. And they're using his line of like, you know,
working hard or hardly working.
Yeah. He's like, nope. And like Ian's like, I'm hardly working.
Right. And that's kind of how it ends. It's like everything's okay.
Yeah.
I thought this was fantastic. I really did. I think this is. Yeah.
It's like I'm in such a weird place with this movie because on the one hand, I feel like it's lesser Pixar, but on the other hand, I loved it.
That's what I'm saying. And so, I can't wrap my head around it. Yeah, it's like, weird.
It's a very interesting... I'm interested to see what Soul is going to be now.
But you know what part of this is? And I usually am pretty good about checking my expectations, but I think that's kind of on us for expecting Pixar to be one thing and they give us something else and we're like, well, this isn't Pixar's
quality. This isn't what I wanted.
Because it's still really good. Like if we didn't, if there was no studio in front of this and you just watched this movie, you'd be like, this is excellent. Like no, not comparing it to Pixar.
Oh, sure. If this was the other direction. If you walked into a Blue Sky movie and they gave you this, you'd be like, holy crap.
If we walked into Asylum Pictures and they gave us like, what was it? Homeward. Did you see that?
Oh my God.
See that picture?
Tom Green.
Tom Green and whoever
else was.
It's basically Onward.
I know someone watched and they said it's pretty different subject matter wise, but they do the marketing to make
it. It looks exactly like.
It's Homeward.
Oh, the Tom Green one. Yes.
They are also like elves and.
Right. Yeah.
But no, I'm very torn like you, and I think that's why I need another watch and now knowing what happens, because this movie, you know, gave me the emotions and the feels, and it's funny and they go on an adventure. There's great action sequences. The dragon showdown's awesome. There's magic. There's wizards and sorcery and Lord of the Rings-esque stuff, like I mentioned. I love. It's all there. And so I don't really have any complaints. And
we talked about our complaints is that it was some of the voice acting and that was the cops coming from the opposite side.
So
there you go.
I would highly recommend it. And I guess the moral of the story is mid-tier Pixar is great filmmaking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. So. There you go.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoiler. So I guess that's it for
Jesus
this one.
Jesus Christ.
What?
A Bloodshot.
Yes.
Or The Hunt.
We'll have to talk about that.
Oh,
we'll
I guess we will, yeah.
We'll have to figure that out. So one of those two. but anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Raymond saves Charlie from a scalding hot bath.
I don't know.
You know it.
Do I?
You do.
Monster Squad.
Got to work out the name.
Raymond and Charlie.
Scalding hot
Scalding
bath.
Scalding hot bath. I have no idea.
Raymond.
Yeah.
Say it fast.
Raymond.
Say it faster.
Raymond.
Faster.
Raymond.
Rayman?
Yeah.
Oh. Man, that was well done.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.